Hi, and welcome back to The Actualizing Woman. I said that in this episode I would be talking about my plan, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So brace yourself, because it's not a plan that most women, people want to do at my age, but it feels to me like it's absolutely the right thing to do. And about a year ago, I sat up in bed kind of with this huge light bulb above my head. I don't know how it got there, but it was there and it was shining bright and it was, you know, it was flashing and it was doing all those things. And I thought, oh, it's so obvious what to do. So the plan was born that day, that night. So that was April of last year, so 2022. In the last year now, I've been planning to move over to France. And I'm planning, when I do go over there, to be self-employed. I've always been self-employed, actually. I've had some silly jobs, some paid jobs, which have kind of supplemented in self-employment income. Actually, it would be quite difficult to be employed by anyone over there. The company that I work for at the moment, which is an EAP company, aren't prepared to support me moving over there. They would have to pay extra tax, extra national insurance and all sorts of stuff. And I'm just, quite frankly, not worth it to them. And that's absolutely fine. Like I say, I've been self-employed pretty much for the last 30 odd years, since I left uni first time in the 80s. So that is me. That's how I am, and I'm really quite comfortable with that and prefer that every time. And this is all part of the actualizing process for me. I've started a business already, which I'm hoping will allow me to have an income while I'm over in France. So therefore, I can live anywhere. There are no constraints regarding geography where I live. Obviously, there are concerns about the kids being still over in England, Wales. But this is the bigger plan, and I've run it by them, so they're okay. They're quite happy. I think they're planning a party, but let's not talk about that. So I've started the business already, and it's a podcast. So this is my second podcast, actually. So my first podcast is it's called Sleep Like a Log, and it's really funny because I can't say the word sleep. And of all the things to be doing, sleep meditation and visualization and hypnotherapy, I have to say the word sleep quite a lot, and it drives me barmy of all the jobs to do. Anyway, so it's a podcast called Sleep Like a Log. Sleep Like a Log. And it's designed to support people who have anxiety at bedtime, in a nutshell. So I'm hoping that that podcast will provide the bread and butter money for me to survive. Obviously, I can run that podcast from anywhere in the world. So my idea is to move over to France and be a podcaster over there, build up while I'm still in Wales, and be able to afford a mortgage at some point when I'm over there. I could rot here in Wales, quite frankly. I've been in Wales for about knocking on 20 years soon. And I brought the kids over here when they were quite young. And that was a move away from an area that I wasn't happy in at all. But I've been here about 20 years. And back in England, I had a house and lost the house when I became divorced or separated from my partner, and have been in rented ever since. So that's decades, and I'm sick of it, quite frankly. I just want to go and seek the life that I really want over there. And the reason why it's over there is because I could afford to buy a property over there. The properties are much cheaper, and the mortgages are easier to get at an older age. And you can get a fairly nice house, I believe. I mean, I'm looking at houses all the time online. And you can get a detached property with enough bedrooms and enough land for the same price as a two up, two down in this country. I'm intending to move over there by this time next year. So May-ish, spring, summer of 2024, ideally. There really isn't a rush, but there kind of is, because I can't wait to go and I'm notoriously impatient and I really want to go. So, and it might all go tit shit. Who knows? Is it a pipe dream? It's a dream and it's a goal that I'm aiming for, but it could all go very wrong. Who knows? And it might be that I don't get there till I'm nearer 60. I don't know. But I would really like to go as soon as possible. So I'm still in my job at the moment and I only work part-time in that. And I'm hoping to fizzle that out at some point later this year. I'm only part-time there anyway, so I only do a few days a week. But that pays for the roof over my head and my food and my heating, etc. Like I say, I'm single. The kids have left home, so it's just me and the dog and the cat. So that's where I am now. I'm preparing to go and I feel like I'm detaching myself somewhat from Wales and the UK. And like I said, the kids know what I'm intending to do and where I'm going to go. I don't really think that they believe me at this point. This might be for them another crazy idea that Mum's got, because I'm a little bit manic and a bit chaotic. They'd be the first people to admit that, and so would I. And I do have random ideas, and they know me to be somebody who is very much all or nothing. But this plan has been in my head for a year, so this isn't going away anytime soon. So I plan to go over via the channel with a van and my car, and I'm hoping my son will have his license still. Who knows with him? So that he can drive the van over there and, you know, help me do the move and find a rental in the north of France. That's the plan. Perhaps somewhere like Rouen or Saint-Omer, which looks, I have to say, delicious. But that might be too far east for me. I don't really know. I'm just thinking if I go over via the channel, then I'll be landing in Calais, and whether there's a cat or a dog with me, I don't want to then be travelling a long time all the way through France to get to my rental property. I want to just, you know, within an hour, have the keys and get into the house and start unpacking, so that that journey is as short as possible for one or both of them. And for me as well. And for my son and the van. For goodness sake, the fuel is going to cost a fortune. And I'm really nervous about that trip for them. I don't particularly care about the van getting there or the car getting there. The most important thing is that the animals survive the trip. That's if, you know, Crumble comes with me. And I know the journey won't be that long. I mean, it would probably be about 3-4 hours to get to Dover, and then I think just over half an hour for the channel trip, and then maybe another hour. So we should be all done, by rights, within 7 hours. But neither of my animals have been in the car for that long, ever before. I mean, no more than half an hour, let's say. So that's my anxiety kicking off about that. But then I can work out what to do about that, you know. It's the unknown, isn't it? At this point it is, anyway. So when I first move over there, I won't be able to get a mortgage and buy something straight away, because, quite frankly, my self-employed business isn't anywhere near impressive at all for a mortgage company. So as long as I've got enough money to live on, and the landlord is happy for me to be English and be in France, and they can see that I can cover the rental for maybe 2 years, I think then that gives me another 2 years of building up my self-employment business. So, and then apply for a mortgage and buy something as cheap as chips that I can do up to some degree. I don't want a complete wreck. I want it to have walls. I mean, it's got to have walls. It's got to have water. It's got to have electricity, ideally. That would be great. So this is the first episode where I am putting it out there what my plan is. I've run it by the kids, as you know. I've run it by a couple of friends. They look at me like I'm weird, so I'm downplaying everything at the moment. But I wanted to kind of document this part while I'm still in the UK and what that journey is for me emotionally, financially, physically, as well. Because, you know, I know it's interesting for me, but I just think it's really important because this is a huge step and brave and big and with the firm belief that my ideal conditions are in France. And I don't know that. I mean, who knows that? I've been there 4 or 5 times. I've always had a connection with France. I am a Francophile, I think it's called. I think that's right. And there's a lot of connection for me with France. So 15 years ago, I had a boyfriend and he had a house in France. And the goal there was, if we were still together, that we would go and live over there. So it's been kicking around in my dream mind for a long time. And regarding the kids, they're around 30 years old now. So they're grown. They're fairly independent. One of them very much is. The other one, not so much. But he's working on it. And I want to be in a place in France where I actually put some roots down. The property that I buy, I want it to be near an airport. That's absolutely imperative that I'm near an airport or within an hour's drive of an airport. So I can get to them, they can get to me. And I'm relatively young in that I'm 55 and I can't believe that. Because actually I'm 32, don't you know? I'm actually 32, but I'm not because my daughter's nearly 32. Anyway, I'm 55 and I'm good to go over there before I get cranky and old and ill and all those horrible things that we dread as we get older. I was diagnosed with an arthritic joint, I think, about 10 years ago. So I've got to be careful with it. I've got to be sensible, you know, otherwise I'm going to look really stupid coming home after a year back to Wales or the UK with my head hung low and embarrassed about the whole nonsense. So I'm looking for a longiere, basically a single story, although I've seen that they do put bedrooms in the roofs as well, but something ideally that's bungalow like that's got some character, so I don't have to worry about getting my creaky silly old knees up the stairs things like that. So that's my goal, that's the plan. I just thought I really ought to start logging the journey that I'm going to take a year before I go, or maybe even who knows how many years before I go. So I'm running a kind of a diary of where I'm at each stage of the process. And I know that at this stage I need to get money behind me. I don't intend to go over there skint. There's absolutely no point doing that. I don't want to be struggling over there. I've been learning French as well. It's going well. Well, it's going. It happens every night on Duolingo. I probably shouldn't say the name, but that's what I'm doing. I'm doing about 10 minutes, 5 minutes a night, just, you know, keeping the dream alive. Every night I've been doing it for the last year. And weirdly, I'm starting to think in French as well. It's really odd. There was something I read the other day, actually, and I can't think what it was now, but the first thought was to change it into how the French would say it. So the pronunciation was French rather than English. Yeah, which I thought, ooh, I'm becoming French. Maybe I am French. Maybe I'm French. I've always been French. I have no idea. Sorry, I won't do that again. Or right at the beginning anyway, certainly in last year, I was looking on Leggett. It's a property estate agent. They list French properties that have been reduced. Every now and then when I feel like I'm losing hope and my dream is waning and it feels impossible to get there, or I get pessimistic and negative, I just go on there and look at the properties and I go, come on, Claire. This is for you. You can do this. It gives me a boost. And I've noticed on there as well that, and I'm sure they're not the only ones that are doing this, on all the properties, all the suns are out. The sun is out every time, every single time on all the photos, all the suns are out. And these properties look gorgeous. And it reminds me that, you know, this is possible. You just need to focus on getting there step by step. So I just need to be able to fund myself and also, of course, be allowed to, in the country. Don't know if that's even going to happen yet. It's exciting. Not many people know that I've got this plan. I've told a couple of friends, my kids and one of my neighbours. And the only reason I've told her is because I don't want any fuss from any of the other neighbours really around. I've told them that I'm going to Shropshire. And I think for a split second I was. So I've said to some people know that I'm planning to kind of move, but I haven't said France. I've just said I'm going up to Ludlow or Shrewsbury or somewhere like that. And I kind of like that it's a bit of a secret because that makes it more intense for me as well. If I don't know, I think if you tell everybody, it becomes quite diluted because then you're also open to negative feedback as well and opinions and stuff like that. The reason I want to go to France is there are so many reasons. And it's not all croissant on the boulevard, rose-tinted glasses kind of thing. It's not a holiday in France. It's not just to, you know, suck up the Frenchness and then come home to reality. This is a serious plan to be somewhere where I can own a property. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal for me. And also to be able to afford a detached property. And I know there's absolutely no way on earth that I'm going to be able to afford to do that in the UK. With all the will in the world, I'm just never going to be earning that kind of money to live in a detached property. I find that my authentic me, the real me, needs my own space all the time. I have to have peace and quiet. When I had the children, of course, you know, every other weekend or so when they went to their dad's, that was kind of nice too, because I was left with just me, but I used to spend the weekend just tidying up, ready for the kids to come home again. But certainly as I've got older, I feel that I'm very comfortable on my own and I can't get enough of it. I mean, the kids have left years ago, and I've been on my own for years. And I love that. It gives me space to think. It gives my creative brain carte blanche to do what I want to do. There's a peacefulness in that. I need that. And I get overwhelmed if I don't have peace and quiet every day. And the reason to have a detached property, ideally, would be to get that peace and quiet, but also be close enough to other people that I can go out and have a social life if I need to or want to. And I know that I can do that here in Wales, in the UK. I can have a social life here, but it's just that owning a property and putting roots down and to be able to make a house my home, my proper home again, will make a real difference for me. Over here, I mean, I've been in rental properties here for 23 years and I'm done with it, completely done with it. I could never get back on the property ladder after me and my partner split up and we sold the house. I've never been able to do that. Owning it just makes a difference. It gives me a feeling of security. I had that feeling of security when we owned our property. And I owned that property at 24 years old. Oh, for God's sake, it's 30 odd years ago. It was a lovely old Edwardian three-bed thing with a huge garden and room for the cars on the front, and I was only 24. And 30-odd years later, the houses I've lived in over the last 20-odd years, the rentals, I've been trying to make my mark on them, and I've definitely made them livable and homely for the kids, etc., but they're not mine. It's not my bricks and mortar. It shouldn't matter. It's just that I can't put roots down because I feel like I've been at the mercy of a landlord for the whole time. The whole time. It all depends on what the landlord wants from me. They decide, you know, whether they will mend the roof. They decide if I can paint my walls purple. It just makes me feel very insecure and vulnerable, always waiting for them to decide what they might want to do with their second, third, fourth, fifth property at any moment. You know, they could say, actually, Claire, you need to leave in 6 months because we're selling. Oh, why would I invest any money in that property, you know? Sometimes you just need to paint your walls purple. I did it in one property. And I could do it again. I could do it in this one. It would look stupid, but I could do it in this one. But whatever I choose to do with the property, I've got to put it back to normal again. Normal, inverted commas, normal before, you know, I get my money back, my deposit back, or they approve it. I didn't have that when I had my own property. And when you leave it, you're at the mercy of them, because what if they don't give you your deposit back? What if they've decided, like one house did? Oh, my God. My son was ill. He was sick on a carpet, on the landing carpet. It was a mess. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to replace this bit of the carpet because it's only a small bit. It's a tiny landing. Let's replace it. Landlord's not going to be happy with it. Couldn't clean it up properly anyway. There was a stain on it. So let's get rid of it. Ask them what the name of the carpet was that they had put in. Ask the same company to replace that carpet that they had to put the original carpet in, the same one. And they said, actually, we can't get that colour again. It's just slightly different. Is that okay? I said, brilliant. That's all I can do. Paid my 150 odd quid for it. And then the landlord, when I left, deducted 150 quid off the deposit because the colour of the carpet wasn't exactly the same. And I think, God damn, I can't do anything about that. And I was gutted. I was gutted. I needed every single penny at that point. And the one property I rented was right in the middle of nowhere. It was cheap. My son, I'd kicked him out, long story, and he went over to live with his dad. But of course, child benefit was dropped immediately and therefore couldn't afford the property I was living and had to move. Went to a cheap house. Water came pouring in through a light bulb on Christmas morning. The cooker shorted out on Christmas morning as well. So we had no Christmas dinner. Ah, and the front door broke on moving day as well. The latch broke. So me and my daughter had to barricade ourselves in the house at night in case someone escaped from the local sex offenders prison that was just a mile away. And the landlord refused to sort any of it out. And in the end, I called the environmental health people. They said they found 43 reasons why that property was deemed unfit for human habitation. And the property was immediately condemned as soon as I left it anyway. I only called them once I'd already found another property. Oh, and just to say as well, that landlord that wouldn't fix it, that very landlord, by the way, he lived next door in a huge, I mean huge, 6-bedroom, 7-bedroom mansion. And when I did finally get my deposit check back, it was a personal check made out to me from Coutts. And Coutts, if anyone knows, is the Queen's Bank. you have to have, I don't know how many millions in the bank before you're even allowed to open an account. But anyway, and they also claimed that I was going to make them poor if I didn't pay my rent. I threatened to not pay the rent 1 month. They said, you're going to make us poor. Oh, heavens above. Breathe in, Claire, breathe in and move on. Anyway, what a wind up. So, yes, I'm going to continue to research everything about finding my new life in France. I've done a little already. I've looked at costing for the move itself, you know, the cost of the van and visas and how to go about finding a property to rent. I'm exhausted already and I still have a year to go. But at least I'm 1 year into the process. And it was always going to be a 2 year plan. And it might end up being a 3 or 4 year plan. Doesn't matter. So here's to the journey. I'm sure it's going to be eventful. And I know there's going to be roadblocks in the way, without a doubt. But as long as I keep an eye on the dream, and I don't just mean what the dream looks like, but also how the dream will feel, then I'll keep going. Come hell or high water. There you go. That's my plan. Bit nuts. But hey, what's that lovely phrase I heard recently? Do something every day that scares you a little bit. Thanks for joining me today. I'll see you in the next one. Ta-da.